Welcome back, everyone. Today we're taking a deep dive into a case from 1924 that might seem like a simple backyard chase.
You're talking about Hester v. United States.
That's right, Hester v. United States. It's a case that's had a surprisingly lasting impact on the legal landscape, especially when it comes to the Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely. It really laid the groundwork for a key concept in Fourth Amendment law. The open fields doctrine.
Okay, let's unpack this open fields doctrine. But first, can you set the scene for us? What were these officers doing on Hester's property in the first place?
Well, picture this. It's the Prohibition era.
Oh, the roaring 20s.
Yeah. And the authorities are cracking down on illegal liquor.
Right. They're on high alert for any sign of moonshine.
Exactly. These revenue officers get a tip that Hester and another guy, Henderson, might be involved in something shady.
So they were already persons of interest.
Right. So the officers stake out the property, and sure enough, they see the two men exchanging what looks like bottles of moonshine.
So they're observing them from a distance. Then what? Did they just walk up and arrest them?
Well, no, not quite. Someone must have tipped off Hester and Henderson because suddenly they take off running.
A chase.
Yeah, a full-on chase. And during this chase, Hester drops his jug.
Oh, no.
It breaks, but there's still some liquid in it. And Henderson, he tosses his bottle aside, too.
Okay, so they're trying to get rid of the evidence.
Right. But those discarded bottles became pretty key evidence.
Makes sense. So the officers caught up with them, I'm assuming?
They did. And being the pros they were, they could tell right away that the spilled liquid was definitely illegal moonshine.
So they had their suspects, and they had the evidence. Seems pretty open and shut. Why did this go all the way to the Supreme Court?
Well, Hester's lawyer argued that the officers had violated his Fourth Amendment rights.
How so?
By seizing that abandoned whiskey without a warrant.
Abandoned. I'm not sure I follow.
Well, see, that's the crux of it. The Supreme Court ultimately ruled that because Hester abandoned the whiskey during that chase, he essentially gave up any reasonable expectation of privacy.
So because he abandoned it, it was no longer protected by the Fourth Amendment.
Right. The officers' actions didn't count as an illegal search or seizure.
So the court drew this line between protected property and open fields. Tell me more about this open fields doctrine.
Yeah, so the open fields doctrine came out of this case, Hester. The court said there's a difference between a person's home and its immediate surroundings.
They called that the curtilage.
Exactly. The curtilage. It's closely tied to the home, so it gets Fourth Amendment protection. But open fields, those are fair game.
So if something's in plain view in an open field, law enforcement can just take it. No warrant needed.
That's basically it. And to back up their decision, the court even looked back at historical common law, finding precedents for this distinction.
Wow. They really dug deep.
They did. And just to hammer home the point, Justice Holmes, he wrote the majority opinion, and he famously said, "The Fourth Amendment does not protect the open fields."
That's a pretty bold statement.
It is, and it's had a huge impact on legal precedent ever since.
So running away and tossing that whiskey, did that mean Hester was basically admitting to possessing it? Could that be seen as a violation of his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination?
That's a really good question. Hester's lawyer actually did argue that his Fifth Amendment rights had been violated.
Oh, wow.
But the court disagreed.
Okay.
They said he wasn't forced into confessing or testifying against himself.
So even though his actions were pretty incriminating, they weren't considered a violation of the Fifth Amendment.
Exactly.
So his actions spoke louder than words, you could say.
Exactly. It was his choice to run and get rid of the whiskey that sealed his fate.
So this Hester case, it didn't happen in a vacuum.
No, not at all.
It shaped how courts have dealt with the Fourth Amendment searches and seizures ever since.
It's a precedent that's still influencing things today.
Which brings us to the really interesting part. How does a case from nearly a century ago, involving a foot chase and some discarded moonshine, still have implications in a world of drones and satellites?
Well, that's what we're going to explore next. The Hester case set the stage for a lot of the legal debates we're having today about privacy, surveillance, and the limits of law enforcement power.
So we were talking about how a case from almost 100 years ago still matters today.
It's pretty amazing, right?
It is. So what are some examples of how Hester, with its foot chase and moonshine, has shaped legal battles in our world of drones and satellites?
Well, for one, Hester really paved the way for later cases, like Katz v. United States. I'm sure you've heard of that one.
Oh, yeah, Katz. That's like Fourth Amendment 101.
Exactly. And Katz brought in this whole idea of a reasonable expectation of privacy, which became super important for figuring out when a search is unreasonable under the Fourth Amendment.
Right. But how do these two cases actually work together? They seem kind of contradictory.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Katz definitely added some nuance to what Hester established, but it didn't completely overturn the open fields doctrine. It's more like they coexist.
And that creates tension and debate.
Sometimes, yeah.
Got it. Can you give us an example of how this tension plays out in real life?
Sure. Let's say law enforcement wants to search a big property out in the country.
Okay.
Under Hester, they could search any open fields on that property without a warrant, no problem.
Right, because of the open fields doctrine.
Exactly. But Katz throws a wrench in things.
How so?
Well, if there's something on that property, even in an open field, where the owner clearly tried to create privacy, let's say they put up a fence with a privacy screen.
Oh, I see.
That could change things.
So Katz basically forces us to look at the context. Did the person really expect privacy in that situation?
Exactly. And it gets even trickier with all the technology law enforcement has these days.
Drones, you mean?
Drones, satellites, stuff like that. Does Hester still make sense when you have drones peeking into your backyard or satellites taking pictures of your property from space?
It's like, is anything really open anymore?
Right. These are the questions lawyers and judges are grappling with all the time.
I can see how that would get complicated.
Yeah.
So where do you stand on this? Is Hester outdated or does it still hold up in our digital age?
Tough question. There are strong arguments on both sides.
Like what?
Well, some legal scholars say that the very idea of open fields needs to be rethought.
Because of the technology.
Yeah. They argue that with drones and satellites, nothing is truly open anymore.
That makes sense.
But then you have law enforcement saying these tools are essential for fighting crime.
So they need to be able to use them.
Right. They'd argue that restricting these technologies would make their jobs much harder.
It's that classic debate, isn't it? Privacy versus safety.
You got it. And the courts are always trying to find that balance.
Okay. Let's go back to Hester for a sec. We talked about the whiskey being tossed in an open field. But what if it had been just inside the house, like near the doorway? Mm-hmm. Would that have changed the outcome?
Ah, great question. That brings us back to curtilage. Remember, yeah, that area around the home that's protected by the Fourth Amendment?
Right, right.
But it can be really hard to say exactly where the curtilage ends and the open fields begin.
Yeah, where's the line?
Exactly. And that's why cases like Hester are so important. They make us think about those boundaries between what's private and what's not.
This has been fascinating. Hester may be about a simple foot chase, but its legacy is anything but simple.
Totally agree. It's incredible how relevant a case from almost 100 years ago still is.
So we talked about Katz v. United States earlier.
Right, the case that introduced reasonable expectation of privacy.
Exactly. That seems like a good place to pick up in our next segment. Welcome back to the show. We've been deep diving into Hester v. United States, a case from 1924.
That's right. It all started with a foot chase and some discarded moonshine.
And we've seen how that seemingly simple case led to the open fields doctrine, a concept that's still shaping legal battles almost a century later.
It's amazing how relevant a case from the Prohibition era still is, especially with all the technological advancements we've seen.
It really shows how important legal precedents are and how foundational cases like Hester can have such a long-lasting impact. But before we wrap up, let's do a quick recap for our listeners who may have missed the first two segments. What are the key takeaways from Hester?
Well, first and foremost, Hester gave us the open fields doctrine, which basically says the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches and seizures doesn't apply to open fields.
So law enforcement can generally search those areas without a warrant.
Exactly.
And we talked about how Hester didn't happen in a vacuum. It set the stage for later cases, like Katz v. United States, which introduced this idea of a reasonable expectation of privacy into Fourth Amendment law.
Right. Katz added another layer to Hester, recognizing that even in open fields, there might be times when someone has a reasonable expectation of privacy.
And that's why we see all these debates today about drones and satellite surveillance.
Exactly. It's like, how much privacy can we really expect in an age of such advanced technology?
It's incredible how a Prohibition era moonshine chase is still so relevant in the digital age.
It really is. It just shows how fundamental legal principles endure, even as the world around us changes.
The core issues in Hester, privacy, liberty, the balance of power between individuals and the government, those are just as relevant now as they were back then.
Couldn't agree more.
So as we wrap up our deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember?
I'd say keep thinking critically about that tension between privacy rights and law enforcement powers. Hester v. United States gives us a valuable historical perspective on that debate.
It reminds us that legal precedents have a powerful and lasting impact, and they shape how we approach these complex issues for generations to come.
Absolutely.
Well said. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into Hester v. United States.
Thanks for joining us.
And be sure to tune in next time when we'll be unpacking Katz v. United States and taking a closer look at that reasonable expectation of privacy concept. It's a big one, folks. So until then, keep those legal minds sharp.